Hey everyone, and welcome to the Brunch and Learn podcast. I'm your host, Nicole Dillon, and I'm the founder of Women Who Brunch, a community where everyone is welcome at the table. We're also an event series in the Hudson Valley, New York area, where we host gatherings for adventurous women who love to connect over shared experiences and enjoy a great meal. The Brunch and Learn podcast is a spin-off, Lunch and Learns, where each episode combines learning something new every day and talking about food, entrepreneurship, and business with some of the best women founders in food and culinary backgrounds. Now, let's get learning. Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Brunch and Learn podcast. As always, I am so glad you're joining us today and taking some time to learn from another amazing woman in the food space. Today, I am so excited for our next guest. I have been following her since the pandemic, and this is the first time we chatted. I have been dying to still meet her in person, but this next guest, she is such a wealth of knowledge. She is an incredible digital creator. And I have a full page of notes, so I will warn you there that you will need to take some notes. She is telling you all of the greatest tips today, so don't say I didn't warn you. Get a piece of paper out. Today we have guest Dominique Tubbs. She is known as Dom in the City on Instagram and on her website, Dom in the City. And she is a digital creator. She's based in New York City and specializes in food and travel content with a passion for culinary adventures and storytelling. She has become a trusted resource in the city's gastronomic landscape and beyond. Her talents have allowed her to work with brands such as Amtrak, Eventbrite, Open Table, and more. And on the podcast, she is going to be telling us everything from guides and blogging recommendations to storytelling to pitching to time management and setting up systems and boundaries. So I'm truly telling you, she has the best tips today, and I cannot wait for you to check out today's episode with Dom. Hey, Dom. Welcome to the Brunch and Learn podcast. I am so excited to chat with you today.
Hi, Nicole. I'm so happy to be here.
I'll probably say this in the intro later, but I've been following you for years. I'm so just thrilled to have you on. Finally, I have so many questions for you. But for those that don't follow you like me, can you kick us off and tell the listeners more about you, your story, and a little bit more about Dom in the City?
I would be happy to. Where do I begin? You know, I'm in my late 30s, so where do I begin? I'm going to take you guys back to the early 1900s or the late 1900s, as the young kids say. So my name is Dominique. Some people call me Dom. I go by Dom in the City. I run an online platform that is centered around, it started around food, but it's also moved into lifestyle and travel, which is really awesome. I have a love for just a great culinary experience and just experiencing other cultures. And that is because I was a military brat. So both of my parents were in the service. My dad was Air Force. My mom was Navy. So we lived overseas pretty much from almost birth until I was about 16, maybe a little bit younger than that. So I've lived in mostly Europe. And so that has like kind of like created this environment where I'm just so welcoming of other cultures and always wanting to just try everything at least once. Fast forward to, 2013, 2014, I moved to New York with my husband. And from there, I just realized that like New York City is like a playground for adults and there's so much to explore and like food and also just when it comes to like cultural attractions and history. And I realized I was always having all these recommendations that I was giving out to all of my friends. So I'm sending them in a text or sending in an email. And eventually I'm like, girl, let's just get a website so we don't have to repeat ourselves. So that is kind of actually like the birth of Dom in the City. Before that, I did a little bit of blogging for a really good friend of mine. And I just realized I wanted more creative control. And I wanted to just write about the things that really matter to me. So when I started Dom in the City, it started as recommendations, as I mentioned. But then I realized there was like a void that was not being filled in like the digital publication space of food, and that was like leaving out like uptown, that was leaving out like Harlem and the Bronx. So I really started to like hone into that. And then, you know, it started really focusing in on women-owned businesses, Black-owned businesses, BIPOC-owned businesses. So I've now had Dom in the City since 2017, and that's where I'm at today. And as I mentioned, started in food, and now I'm moving into the space of travel, which is really awesome and fun, and also lifestyle as well.
That was one initial question that I had for you that I didn't share in the pre questions, as because I've been following you for so many years, I have also seen that just evolution of guides, recommendations, Harlem, Black-owned businesses, women-owned businesses, to now more recently it has felt like this lean in of more travel, leisure. You know, what does that look like for you? Is it a lot of reflection? Is it a lot of people asking you? Is it just what you your heart desires? Like, what is it when you make those transitions and decide to kind of explore it a little bit more?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest pivots that I had, a lot of us did, was the start of the pandemic. We all went from, you know, eating outdoors to then going home, and like, I'm like, well, how do I create content? I only do restaurants, and I had to pivot to like, okay, I'm going to start cooking at home. And it was something I was always doing, but it wasn't something I was sharing because I wasn't sure people were interested in it. So I just started like little by little. I started uploading recipes, creating Instagram stories around, you know, things I was doing at home. And I always pay attention to my following. I feel like I'm like really closely connected to them. And that's something that's always really important, to stay grounded and understand what they want and what they enjoy that you create. So I started doing at home stuff, and I was like, oh, wow. Next thing I knew, like, I was starting to enter into partnerships with like houseware companies and cookware. And then the world opened back up. I'm really big on fostering connections with people. So whenever I work with like PR companies, like I like to like get a coffee with them and talk to them about things. And one of the PR people I was working with, she was in hospitality, but also did like travel. She's like, you know, like food and travel go hand in hand. And in my mind, I'm like, why didn't I think that food and travel didn't go hand in hand? So my first press trip was for Houston, Texas, which was a really an amazing experience because it allowed me to understand like, what does a good press trip look like? What is the work that you have to do? And also I was able to create content from that. So I started creating itineraries. And from there, I realized like, oh, this is a lane that I want to move into. And after that, I pitched myself to Chicago. Chicago, Illinois, which was really awesome because I reached out to them and I was like, hey, your website is really lacking on Black-owned businesses, and I would really like to come to your city and explore it and share it. And this is what I would do. And from there, I got to like build my entire itinerary, which is really awesome. So I would say like, once your followers get to know you a little bit more, they become more involved in just what your original niche was. And that's how you know that you moved into lifestyle, when people start starting to ask, like, where did you get your hair done? Where is the outfit from? Do you have any recommendations for a dry cleaner? You know, so I just started really paying attention to like what is performing well. And that's how I kind of made that move into travel. And I think having a blog and moving into travel is also really important because, you know, these tourism companies, they want their content to live longer than just 24 hours in your Instagram stories or just a post, because honestly, blogs actually help with their SEO. So I think having a blog and paying attention to my community has allowed me to make that transition.
And how is that going with all the press trips, travel?
Yeah, it's been going good. 2020... Three. I didn't have a lot of press trips. I think I may have had like maybe two, but I always focus on like extending the content well beyond just an Instagram feed post. So I went to Portland, and I think it was October, which was a really cool experience because I was tasked with being a guide for other content creators. So I was teaching them the art of storytelling, how to run your blog and your Instagram profile like a business. So that was really like an eye opener for me, like, oh, wow, like I am considered an authority in this space. So that was a different type of experience versus just going on a press trip, creating content and being gone. But this year, I have two trips lined up for the second half of this month of February. So I'll be going to Ithaca, which I'm very excited. I love going upstate and getting away from the city. So I plan on learning how to ski, being at some fabulous resort, and somehow make a pit stop to Harriet Tubman's home, which is located upstate. And I don't think a lot of people know that. So I'm hoping that I can squeeze that in. My second press trip is actually Walton County. So they're known for like their beautiful, luxurious beaches. I think they have like 15 plus beaches within a certain mile radius. And I'm going to go there just to specifically explore the culinary scene. So those are two trips I have coming up. I have a couple others that are in negotiation right now. So I think I'll have like two more probably before June that occur. So it's been great. I feel like every trip is like a learning experience for me, like how to be more efficient, how to stretch out that content, how to make it last, and also considering moving into YouTube with that content as well too. So we're toying with a couple of things when it comes to press trips and travel.
All right, as usual, I have so many questions to expand on that.
Let's go.
I love Ithaca. Love that for you. Harriet Tubman's house is on that tip of, so it's an extra drive. Do you know that?
I know, I
Okay.
know.
It's
But
worth it.
I like the drive. I like driving though. So
It's a
yeah.
nice
So, but
area.
I'm gonna try to figure it out how I can like wake up really early on my way back to New York City, go see it, and then drive back home. But I'm a person who like I can blink and do a 14-hour drive. It's crazy, but as long as you got a good playlist,
It's not too much. From like Ithaca
no.
there, I feel like it's 40, maybe an hour.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right.
I'm ready to do it. And also,
Thank
if you have recommendations, send them my way as well too, because you have great taste.
you. I do love the Finger Lakes. Obsessed.
Same.
So I will definitely send them. And going into storytelling, I wanted to learn more about that. How do you approach storytelling? Like, what makes for a good storyteller, when it comes to food and travel content creation. I think you do such an excellent job, especially in stories, like high class, your content as well, like your videos. And I've just seen that evolution of you are always learning, but kind of want to hear from you of storytelling.
Yeah, I know we're in the age right now where people are making like these really fast reels of like a compilation of videos of a place that they went to, but it's visually appealing. But to me, I don't want you just to go once because it was visually appealing. I want you to go because you feel connected. I'm also a marketing major, so I'm always like in the mind of a consumer. A consumer is much more likely to go to a place and return once they feel a connection to the owner or the space. So I always think about it like that. So I always tell people storytelling is helping your community know more about like the business or a subject or et cetera, more than just what photos and videos can tell a person. And this is something I even have to remember because sometimes I'll get lost in the sauce with my storytelling, but there's always a beginning, middle, and end. And I always think about that as well when it comes to video. I don't need to show every single step or every single part, but people need to know the beginning, middle, and end because it makes it easier for people to follow along. And then, like I said, once again, creating a connection between the reader and the point of interest. So telling them about the business owner, maybe they have a very unique story. Maybe they had a coffee shop, but they originally were like in like movie productions and building sets. And then they just decided that I love Harlem so much that I want to create a cafe that's like community centered and I have events, but people need to know that besides like this is the guy that owns it. So that's why I always tell people when I like visit a business, the first thing I do is I click on the About Us page because I want to know if there's a story. Like I can get food from anywhere, honestly, but I want to feel connected to you in a way. And I think the way that just like products and services are going, more business owners know that they need to start sharing their story. So, like I said, storytelling for me, beginning, middle, and end, telling them something more than just photos and video can convey. And once again, like letting them know, like, this is the owner. This is why you should come here. This is what I feel when I come here. This is what you should order. This is the bartender. They've been here for XYZs, but they're also on Broadway. Like, this, like, those little things that make people feel like, oh, I'm in there. Like I'm like, I know what's going on here before they even arrive.
And what, I guess, do you have any content creator tips? I'm sure you have a lot for someone starting out. I need help pitching. So selfishly, that's my question. But anything else of technology, rates? You mentioned developing those relationships with PR and contact. I love that tip. But any other tips you have?
Yeah, I would first say for beginning content creators, the biggest tip I always tell people is once you decide on your name, think about, like, is this a name that I'm okay with like 5 years from now? I think sometimes we'll get names. I'm like, this is cute for now. Like, I wanted to be Dom in NYC. And then I was like, but I don't want to just be in New York. I want to be other places. So think about, like, how will you grow with that name? And then make sure you secure your name on all handles, even the ones that you don't think that you'll use. Like, I secured Dom in the City for YouTube, and I was like, I'm not going to use YouTube. And now I'm like, I think I might do YouTube. So I'm glad that I already have it, because it gives you a level of consistency and professionalism, instead of saying, like, I'm Dom in the City on Instagram, and then Dom in the City underscore, on Pinterest. Like, that's way too much for people to remember, and consumers need it simple. So that's one thing I always recommend to people. I always tell people having a website is not necessary, but it's very, very helpful. And it's helpful in the way that it allows your content to have a place, to have, I don't know, like, it's a place where you can have longer form content. That's one thing. And then it's also a way that you can monetize your content even further. I feel like we're having like this return to the age of blogs 2024. So now everyone wants to get a blog, everyone wants to start one. So I think that is another piece of advice I would get to people, like, start a blog and write like everybody's reading. Don't write like nobody's reading. Write consistently, have a frequency. Maybe it's once a month. When I first started blogging, I was writing every week for like 3 to 4 years, which is absolutely insane. But I really wanted to give consumers something to always come back to. Because if you're not updating your blog, why would someone go back to it? If they log into your blog and the last time you posted was like 3 years ago, or you post like once every year, like, people aren't going to return. And then another tip I always remind people is run your blog like a business. So that means like responding to people in a timely manner, like within 24 hours, creating deadlines for projects or content that you want to create. It keeps you on track so you don't start procrastinating. And then find applications that work best for you. So I'm a Notion girl through and through. If someone ever broke into my computer, they would know my whole life story and all my business, because it's all on Notion. From my personal expenses to my business expenses to my partnerships, I keep track of all my partnerships. I know exactly where they are. Like, we're in negotiation. Content has been delivered. Waiting on payment. I know what day my payment is due. So that way, I don't have to think about it like every day. I set a reminder in Notion and say, like, 30 days out, your payment's due from this company for X, Y, and Z. So Notion is really helpful, as I mentioned. And also, like, there's so many apps out there, and everyone's going to tell you there's like a best app for everything. And I just recommend people just trying a little bit of everything. Maybe just try three, not everything, but just three. Like, for example, when it comes to creating videos, when I'm doing like Instagram videos, like little vlogs on my phone, I use an app called VN, just the letter V and the letter N. And I use it because it's one free. And it's easier to me to use than like CapCut or InShot. InShot and CapCut have way too many features for me, like way too many. Like, I don't need like sparkles and glitter coming from the ceiling. I just want you to have clear, crisp visuals. So I use VN. Like I said, I use Unfold when I want to have like very curated stories, and Unfold's free as well. There's a paid version, but they have beautiful templates. So, like, I like to try to help the consumer understand, like, oh, this is curated content and we're on a trip right now, versus like, this is just everyday content. So, that's another great app. Something I would also recommend to people is don't be afraid to pitch, which is kind of what you were mentioning earlier. And in order for you to have a successful pitch, you one need to almost reach the right person. And I always say almost, because like, what if you reach the director of marketing and they're like, girl, I do not do influencer marketing. She's going to forward your email into someone else, or be able to find the exact person. And this sometimes takes work. I am a sleuth when it comes to finding people. So I will Google them. I will look for recent press releases and see whose name is on it. I will comb through LinkedIn to look for you. I will look at like your bio for your role. And if you say anything about influencer marketing, I'm sending you an email. But an easy way is sometimes you can just DM. Sometimes they'll have like a general email on their website and it'll say like media inquiries, put it here. And what I'll do is I'll DM their Instagram account and just say like, hey, I've been on your website. I would love to connect with you and discuss a relationship or partnership. And I just want to confirm, is this the correct email for influencer related marketing? And normally in that DM, they'll be like, yes or no. But you don't just want to be like, what's the email? Because that doesn't show that you're resourceful. And me personally, if you don't show that you're resourceful, like I'm not trying to make your job easier because you didn't even try. So there's a couple of different ways. LinkedIn, DM after a little bit of research, Googling for press releases because they're always going to have some type of contact information. And then you're probably like, well, what do I put in my pitch? Because that's the thing I don't understand. You have to really know your audience. So the way that I sell my audience, I know exactly who my audience is. It's 80% female, 20% male. I know like the demographic. So the majority of my followers, I would say like maybe like 60% are well over 35, 35 and over. So I also know like information about like do they have children? Are they single? And the reason why I know this information is because I got it from Four. So Four is like an influencer platform that you can use to pull all your information. So that's FOHR.co. And they'll like scan through your Instagram followers and it will tell you information down to if they're single, if they have ch children, what religion, how old they are, where they live, et cetera, et cetera. So it's really, really helpful for when you're trying to pitch. So when I'm pitching travel, and I've only been pitching domestically, I haven't done anything internationally yet. But when I pitch domestically, I let them know, like, hey, I live in New York City. My readers love a quick getaway, especially if it's something within like a 2-hour flight from New York City. Or if I'm pitching something that I know is like can be a family destination, I'll share that, like, 30% of my followers have kids. And I think this would be a great family-friendly trip. There's something for kids, there's something for adults. Or sometimes I'll include screenshots of people like saying, like, I've never been to the Finger Lakes and I want to know more information. So I'll do like polls sometimes. Sometimes I'll do a poll and I'll be like, have you guys ever been to Baltimore? And if everyone's like, no, and it's like 80%, that's something that Baltimore could be tapping into. So that's something else that I do when it comes to pitching. And then when it comes to like tourism boards specifically, most tourism boards will actually list out their marketing objectives. And it's a very long doc. It's like sometimes it can be like 20 plus pages. I open that thing up, hit Control F, and just type influencers or hit blo or type in bloggers, seriously. And if they're like, we're interested in bloggers, that's somebody you should reach out to. And then sometimes they'll tell you in these marketing objective documents, like the footprint they're trying to reach. So like they might say, like, let's say, I'll give you an example. Oh my gosh, Detroit, Michigan. Let's say Detroit is trying to attract people from Ohio, New York, Virginia, Pennsylvania, just like random states that are around it that are easy to travel to. And if you find yourself in that footprint, that makes you an even stronger candidate. And then linking to like work that you've previously done, I think that's the most important thing. You have to create content for them to understand you can do the job. 'Cause like, paying you is a big, it's a big risk. And if I don't know if you can do the job, why would I want to pay you? So linking them to like the work that you've done in the past. And I think this goes for any type of industry that you're in, beauty, food, home, decor, regardless, you have to show them. So create the content to attract the people. So, anytime I go stay at a hotel, regardless if it's a press trip or not, I'm always getting like hotel content. So people can see like, oh, she can do a reel to highlight our hotel. So that's something I can always link to later on. That was a lot. I'm so sorry.
Going off that, maybe it's a newbie question, but how, if you are new, how do you even begin to think about rates, negotiation? Is there a community? Like, how do you even approach that?
Such a good question. I think this is a question for everyone because some people, I mean, I started my blog in 2017. I didn't start monetizing until 2020. So I think it's a question that everyone will have, regardless if they're a newbie or if they've been in the game for a minute. So I always say, like, having a community of people around you is really important. So when I started Dom in the City, I didn't have like food blogger friends in New York City. I just didn't. And a lot of my community came from other cities like Houston and Detroit and LA. So talking to them and sometimes building authentic relationships with people who are like inspire you to where you want to be. And then also building relationships with people who are very similar to you. So I had made sure I had both. And I think it's really important when we build these relationships, like we're not building them with the intent of asking people questions right off the bat, but like creating authentic relationships. I think that's so important. And so like sometimes I would reach out to people and I'd be like, hey, I'm kind of new to this and X, Y, and Z is wanting me to do these deliverables. Like, what would you recommend for my size? And I think something that you should keep in mind is like, what is your current engagement? Don't always just look at followers, but also look at your time. because your time is really valuable, especially if you're a 9-to-5er. Like, who wants to give up their weekend to do a post for $50? I mean, I can blow that on coffee in 3 days. It's really bad that I can do that. But you should really think about not just like just doing it, the act of doing it. Think about like your time, your experience. Think about the value that you add to the brand as well too. And it's hard to say like what should your price be exactly, but that's also why I do a good job of keeping track of my brand partnerships. So I can say like, okay, when I was at your size and someone asked me for this deliverable, this is what I charge them. And I think also people have to get comfortable with negotiating, which can be a scary thing. And also throwing out a number that makes you uncomfortable. I know that sounds bad, but I do this all the time. Like I'll look at my pricing and I look at the scope of work. I'm looking at like they want to own the rights to this for 30 days. I'm looking at like where they can use it at. And sometimes I'll send out my number and I close my laptop and I walk away because it scares me. But I feel like when you throw out a number that scares you, that means you did not lowball yourself. I think that's the most important thing to remember. And also, another really good resource is FYPM. It stands for F you pay me, but
Yeah.
FYPM.VIP. I encourage everyone to go on there and make an account. One, it's a free service. Two, it's like the Instagram's Glassdoor. Like it tells you about like how the company works. Do they pay on time? What they paid people in the past, what the deliverables are. So outside of your community, using resources like that is really, really helpful.
Where are you at? Now that you're, I mean, you've done a lot of brand deals and partnerships. Is it a mix now for you of they're reaching out to you? You still have to actively pitch anything, obviously new, you probably have to pitch. Where is that balance?
Yeah, I think so. My balance is no, right now, it's typically people reaching out to me, but I've actually made a goal for myself that I pitch myself 3 times a month this year. And so it's a balance of both, but it also kind of depends on my personal life. Like, is my personal life crazy right now? Like, do I have a lot of things going on in the background? Well, obviously, I'm not going to pitch because I don't want to take on additional things. But right now, 2023 was mostly about people reaching out to me, but there has been times where I reached out to people to pitch things. So I would say right now, 80% is last year, 80% was me just receiving brand partnerships. And then the other half was me pitching. But I saw one trend I saw for 2023 was a lot of repeat brand partnerships. So for example, I work with Eventbrite 3 times. Like by the time I submitted my deliverables for the first campaign, they were like, we really like what you do. Can we do it again? So I think that's why it's really important to like do great work and be on time with things and give quality, because you know they always say it's cheaper to keep her. So it's like they already know that the other they already know the work that you're going to do, so why would they go get a new person and risk it all? So I think that's also really important to remember.
I did want to get into food photography. What, I guess, tips and resources do you have?
Okay, so I still consider myself a hobbyist when it comes to food photography. And the reason why I say that is because I still bounce back and forth between auto and manual settings, just depending on how I feel. Like if I'm feeling like really adventurous and I'm like, we got time today, I'll do manual settings. But sometimes I'm like, I just want to get this flick and be done. I'll put it on auto. But the way that I gain my eye for composition is really consuming photography. And I think that's the way you grow in any interest that you have is by consuming it like a lot. So I would make sure I'm following photographers that I really admire their work. And then I would ask myself, what do I admire about their work? And I think that also helps you to kind of decide like what your style is. And then reading books. So I would like download books from like the public library and just read books on photography, specifically food. And then my little hidden gem is Pinterest. Anytime you want to shoot something and you're like, I have no idea how to shoot this, I would literally just go to Pinterest and type in, I don't know, burgers. And it would give you like all these photos of burgers. And I would sit there and I would analyze a photo and be like, okay, what is it about this angle? Okay, what are they wanting me to see here? Like, when does a bird's eye view ever work? You know, so like that's something that I used. And then outside of photography, like editing is a really strong part of photography, I believe. And so like learning how to use Lightroom. And sometimes that means, you know, getting on YouTube, you know, that means sometimes reading the Adobe Suite knowledge base. But those are just some of the tips that I give to people who are like wanting to like get into food photography.
What camera do you have?
So I have like a regular little camera. It's not like a full frame camera. I have a Canon T6 Rebel. So you can literally get it from like Target for like $700 for the base body. But I always tell people the lens is what makes it. It's the lens. So I have a couple different lens. I have what's called a Nifty 50, which is a lens that you cannot zoom in. But it's great to get those like close up crisp shots. And then I also have a Sigma lens that I can't remember the specs right now, but it has a low aperture, which means it's great in low lighting. And those are the two lenses that I bounce back and forth between. So you can start, and honestly, I use the kit lens on my T6 Rebel Canon for like a year before I decided to invest in lenses. And then when I started to decide to invest in lenses, I got ones that were gently used because I knew that like it was just the beginning and I was going to eventually like upgrade to something else. So that's another route to go.
Do you still enjoy food photography?
I do. I need to get back into it. I'll be honest, I don't pick up my camera like I used to. And I think that's because of the way that social media is going, everything's a video, which is kind of annoying. But this year I told myself I'm getting back into photography. So I'm really excited about these upcoming trips. And like I'm not gonna break out my camera, my phone. I'm gonna break out my camera. And I actually love like landscape photography now. Like that makes me so happy. So that's something else that I'm really excited about when I go on this trip.
All right. I know that you've mentioned you've been really into mentoring and mentorship. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, what's really funny is my mentee, well, my now mentee reached out to me and was like, I would like you to mentor me. And I'm like, for what? And I think sometimes we think that mentorship always has to be centered around like your industry or your professional career. But the person that I actually work with as my mentee, we kind of just talk about like time management, setting boundaries. So things outside, because they actually own a brick and mortar business, but we kind of just talk about like, you know, it's their first time owning a business, it's their first time doing a lot of things. So teaching them about, you know, how to communicate to people, how to delegate, how to get things done. But I also feel like I'm an informal mentor for a lot of other people who are content creators. And so that's always been really interesting and kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of jarring for me because when people are like, I look up to you, or like, I just want to pick your brain, or like, you know, and I'm always like, what, me? Because I feel like my mindset is I'm forever a student. So the fact that people are like looking to me for advice is always like, what? But now I've just learned to like lean into it. And I think sometimes I haven't been creating as much lately for social media. And it's just because like I've been trying to get things in order, like in terms of like systems and efficiency. And I've been doing a lot of things behind the scenes that aren't related to social media. So sometimes I feel like, can I still give advice in a space that I'm not creating in as much as I used to? But I've actually really enjoyed mentorship and I'm just leaning into it. So I don't know if this is going to turn into coaching for content creators or what, but I'm just kind of learning to like let the universe show you what's next. And I think that might be next, but we'll see.
On that same thread, time management, boundaries, systems. What advice do you have? Because I know that you have a full-time job and you do everything that you do. Like, how do you balance and prioritize it all?
Yeah, I always tell people, I'm still figuring it out, honestly. I know sometimes it looks like I'm balancing it, but almost every other day I'm hanging by a thread. But then I just have to like sit down and reprioritize. So every day I sit down and my priorities are going to shift. So I'll wake up in the morning and I'm like, what's the top three things I need to get done for Dom in the city? And I focus on those three things. And I'm like, okay, in the event I'm able to complete those three things, what are the additional things that I need to do? And honestly, I will contribute this to a planner that I purchased at the top of the year. It's called Still, STIL. It's actually a woman-owned brand based out of Canada, but it's really just changed the way that I view my day. It changed the way that I goal plan. I no longer say like, let's set some goals for the entire year. I'm looking at quarterly. But like I said, you know, sitting down in the morning, really looking at your priorities, putting them in order, that's number one. And then also, like I said, outside of using the planner, I also use Notion for longer term goals. And that kind of helps me. Something that I've kind of done that's been like a cheat code is like making each day of the week a certain task. And that's been really helpful. So every day of the week is email. I try to get my email box down to zero. It's amazing what it will do for your mental health. And then there's certain days where like I'll comb through my website and do updates. So like I'll look at SEO and be like, okay, what's the most trending blog page right now? Let's go make sure that's up to date. Let's make sure all the links work. There's days where I sit down and I just pitch. There's days where I sit down and I just research future goals that I might have, but kind of like tying each day to a specific task is really helpful. And I think it's really important to remember when you're a content creator and a 9-to-5er that my favorite phrase is mind the business that pays you. And my 9-to-5 pays me more right now. So you have to understand that there's going to be seasons where you're going to need to pull back from your creative journey, and that doesn't make you any less of a creator, and it's okay. And maybe sometimes instead of creating content, you're reading about the newest trends for photography, but shift the way you use your time, you know, so that way you still stay in touch with your creative side. I think that's the most important thing. Batching content's really helpful. So like taking a day where you just do three like reels and you're doing the voiceovers all together and making the most of our weekends when you do have the time, that's really helpful as well too.
I love that. That feels so refreshing because in the social media world, it feels like this pressure to post every day, twice a day. And I love that. I wrote down Notion like three times because I've heard about it. I need to use it. I need to get on that. Okay.
Yeah. My tip to everyone, though, is because everyone loves the default to the app first. I highly encourage you to create it on your desktop first and then go there. And I have different types of Notions that are specifically for my social media. So like I said, I manage my brand partnerships there. I have a social calendar there. So like I can like I have a place where I just dump all my ideas, and it's great because then I can come back to it and I won't forget it. And then I can be like, all right, we're gonna start planning this one and this one and this one this weekend. And then I can be like, I'm gonna post it on this day, this day, this day, this day. So Notion is really helpful just to kind of like get your thoughts in place. Like when I do newsletters, I have like a think tank, that's what I call it. And it's just all the things I want to put in my newsletters. So that way I'm not like every month, I'm like, what am I gonna put in here? So it's just really helpful, and I just highly recommend it. And it's free. It's insane that it's free because it's amazing.
So let's get into. I just really want to know what are some of your favorite BIPOC-owned, women-owned, Black-owned businesses that you love supporting right now?
Yeah, there's so many. There's so many. And I tell people
I
I'm definitely that
know.
content. There's a I always tell people I'm that content creator, but you'll see me go to the same place three times in a month. But that just lets you know how great it is. So like some of my favorite women, BIPOC-owned, women or BIPOC-owned businesses. The first one is Still, STIL. I'm telling everyone, I've always been a planner person, and my friends joke about this because I did a podcast with my best friend. We've known each other since we were like 13. And she's like, yeah, you were like in seventh grade with a planner. And so like I've always had it, but also I'm an 80s baby. So back in the day, we had agendas. Like agendas just started coming out in grade school, like where they gave you like a notebook and it allowed you to keep track of everything. Like there was a place where your parents had to sign off. So that agenda mindset really went into my adulthood, honestly. And then it just like skyrocketed when I went to college. Like it got a little insane. Like I had like three planners. It was crazy. But yeah, so like having a planner is really important. But the reason why the Still planner is so important, because one, it's undated. Two, they have a quarterly version of it, which is really nice because why are we carrying around a whole year when I'm just trying to get through these 3 months? So Still is an amazing company. She is so thoughtful. She is like, I think she has a team of three people that helps her run this small empire, but it's such an impactful product. Another company, which is food related, is Sugar Hill Creamery, which is located here in Harlem. They have a total of three locations in Harlem, one in Brooklyn. And Patricia is like she's an amazing business owner. And because like she's not just a business owner, but she's also a mother of three. And she's so honest about motherhood and entrepreneurship. And that is something that I truly admire in her. I'm like, if I ever have kids, like I want to be just like you. Like I want to be, you give me hope, because like I think sometimes people make parenting look so perfect and organized. And she's just like, I have two kids laying on the floor screaming right now, and I have to run into a mentorship meeting. And I have one, and I'm using ice cream to get them off the floor and bribe them. And I'm like, that would be me. So, but anyways, Sugar Hill Creamery is absolutely amazing. They have some staple flavors, but they have rotating flavors as well too. They give back to the community in so many different ways. They have like kids karaoke, like a mom group for people who are like first time moms in Harlem. So that's the second one. I mean, I cannot not talk about my best friend, Ramen by Ra. She is the first Black woman-owned ramen shop in New York City. She's also an ambassador of Sun Noodles, which is a pretty big deal. And she's just making ramen more accessible to people who maybe think a $20 bowl of ramen is not for them. You know, like she's putting in ingredients that are familiar to them. She's been getting a lot of press and write-up because of her bacon, egg, and cheese ramen. So she's amazing. I visit her pretty often. Never in my life have I ever been able to gain open table points so fast. So she's really getting all my money, and I'm excited. And then let's see. Another one is Stuyvesant Champagne. I love champagne. I love wine. I love sparkling wine. I love all the things. They have a tasting room in Brooklyn. It's a Black woman-owned company, and she has just really been making like huge waves in the space. So those are a couple people. Still, Sugar Hill Creamery, Ramen by Ra, and Stuyvesant Champagne.
See, I thought you were going to go into the candles.
Oh my gosh. Oh, you know me so well.
I
That's a
know.
very long list. Off the dome, favorite candle right now. Oh my gosh, there's so many. There's so many. I love Lit Brooklyn. I love Lit Brooklyn. And I'll tell you why. Lit Brooklyn candles can stay inside the box and you can put it in a closet and you can still smell it throughout your whole house.
I love
That
those
is insane.
kind. Yeah.
Because you really feel like you're getting your money's worth, right? Like
Yes.
you
Yeah.
don't even need to burn it yet. And I'm also a candle hoarder because I hold on to them for long periods of time because I really feel like candles are like something sacred. And I like to burn them like when I'm doing some creative work or I'm hitting like a wall or like I need to power through or I'm having a rough day. So for me, it's very therapeutic. So yes, I am a candle lover. That is so true. You know me so well.
I do. And I love when you go to like Whole Foods and get your like strawberry shortcake.
I'm trying to lay off on it, really. I get fixated on certain foods and then I can't shake it, but I haven't had strawberry shortcake in like a week and a half. And I think the craving will probably hit probably like this weekend. So thanks for the
I
reminder.
said it, yeah. I'm
Yeah,
speaking it into
that is my jam.
going into food. Yeah, let's talk more about food. What are some of your favorite products, kitchen gadgets, brands, cookbooks? What are you consuming? Like restaurants, what are you just loving right now?
Oh my goodness. So I really enjoy cooking as much as I love eating out. So I'm typically in my kitchen like at least 3 to 4 times a week, regardless if it's a quick meal, super dedicated meal, hour of prep. But I do love items that just make my life simple in the kitchen. So, I mean, I shouldn't say I'm obsessed, but I have this thing that it's like a silicone cone and you put your garlic in it, you just roll it on the cap on the counter and it takes the shell off the garlic. And I'm just like, you're saving me so much time instead of smashing them and peeling them apart. My favorite appliance right now is my Brava oven. I will say it was a gifted item. I received it in 2021. But when I tell you I put that bad boy to use like almost every other day, every other day. And what a Brava oven is, it's a smart oven that fulfills like 8 different functions. So it's a dehydrator, it's a slow cooker, it toasts things, it can bake things. I mean, you can cook rice in there. You can make a whole steak, but it cooks using light. And the cool thing is you can cook like 3 things on one tray, and they will all cook at the same time because they have zones. But it's like a very impressive oven. Does everyone need it? Absolutely not. That's half of my life. I don't need any half of the things I buy, but it is great for people who like don't have a lot of counter space and they don't want to have a toaster and have a an air fryer. So it does save on space. It's also really good for people who do not cook a lot and they're trying to get into cooking because they actually load recipes onto it every Wednesday. So it just has like a huge catalog of recipes that you could try. So that's one thing. Another one of my favorite gadgets is a KitchenAid mixer. I feel like it is a huge investment. Even if you only pull it out twice a year, it's still worth it. Because once you start using it more regularly, you'll realize that, like, wow, I can just use this for a lot. I actually use it to shred cheese. I have the cheese attacher, the cheese grater attacher. Because who wants to shred a block of cheese? Not me. I'm getting like PTSD from being a child all the time. My mom's like, we're making mac and cheese. And then, like, we have to like shred 8 blocks of cheese and not cut our fingers off. And we're like 9 years old. So, because of luxury and convenience, KitchenAid mixer with the cheese shredder attachment. I'm also an OXO girl. I love everything OXO.
Yeah.
They recently came out with this bowl that is specifically for like rice. And so it's like slotted on, not slotted, it has like holes on the bottom. So you just run the water over it. It's great. Absolutely genius. Like, I don't know why no one ever came out with that before. And then cookbooks. So I will tell you this, I judge a cookbook by its photography. I know it sounds bad. And
Don't we all?
current but yeah, like that's the first thing I do. Like, I'm like, okay, love the author. And then I start flipping through the pages. So I will say Chef JJ just came out with a new cookbook like a couple months ago. So I've been flipping through that. And I like any cookbook that makes food approachable in a sense. And when I say approachable, I mean like we're not in the kitchen for like 2 hours. Like I'm not trying to do that. So I like things that give me like quick recipes, short prep times, but delicious food. Yeah, I can't think of, I mean, this is really bad because I have a whole stack of cookbooks in my kitchen right now, and I can't think. I mean, I did buy Chef Kwame Onwuachi's cookbook like about a year ago. So I do own that. Ghetto Gastro is really good, especially if you're plant-based. I get a lot of my recipes from like chefs that like might have like ebooks or they offer their recipes online. So I do that a lot as well too. But yeah, and then restaurants. I know we kind of talked about this a little bit. I am obsessed with pho and I get it like once a month. And I believe the best pho, and this is a very strong statement, I know you guys, the best pho is located in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, and it's called D&D. So that is one of my favorites. And I've been on this vegan kick lately. So I've been doing a lot of vegan food. I'm not a vegan, but you know, I'm a flexitarian. So Cadence in East Village, they have these fried lasagna roll-ups. And it's vegan and it tastes like real meat. It's wild. And then they have this smoked grits and oyster mushroom dish. That's my favorite as well, too. And then when I'm craving something like on the go, like a little burger, Jarrell's in Soho. It's kind of crazy that I get on the train just to go to Soho just to have a burger. But that's how you know it's good.
I want to try that so bad.
It's just
That and
honestly.
field trip.
Yes, you should. But Jarrell's, you can double park and just order it. But like when I tell you, it's like life-changing. And it's because like his meat is so well seasoned. Normally when you get vegan burgers, they taste a little bit dry. They don't have like a lot of seasoning. But he has like a smash burger approach to his vegan burgers. And then he has these unforgettable oat milkshakes. I don't even like oat milk. I think the consistency and texture and taste is weird. But his oat milkshakes, I'm gonna start asking him to make them in like a double size version, which might be a little excessive because that would make it about 32 ounces. But somebody out there wants it. Me, the somebody is me.
You mentioned a few, but any chefs you're loving?
Oh, there's so many out right now. So if you guys are familiar with the Musket Room, which is like a Michelin-starred restaurant, their sister restaurant bakery cafe is Raff's, which is right next door. So in the morning time, you can get like French and Italian pastries. You can have breakfast, and then at nighttime, it turns into a restaurant. They have a executive pastry chef. Her name is Kamari, and she is just wildly talented. She really like and she like brings her Jamaican heritage into the dishes that she makes, but she also has this ability to put together flavors that you would never think about, and like I forgot she has like a mushroom, she's like a mushroom something pastry right now that's incredible. But I mean she's just always coming up with like very unique things. So that's one person. I talked about Cadence, which is Shanari Freeman, and she actually just recently opened up a restaurant in LA, which is really awesome. A restaurant in New York and LA and vegan, impressive. There's a chef inside of a restaurant called Essex Pearl, which is Lower East Side. It's inside the Essex Market, and they focus on fresh seafood and also Asian fusion cuisine. And they have some of the best prawns I've ever had. Oysters, like very fresh oysters. His name is Daniel, Chef Daniel. He's really amazing as well, too. But there's so many people. I could go on and on and on and on.
That was a long list.
I'm always eating. I might not always be posting it, but I'm always eating.
I see that. I mean, not like in a bad
No.
But I was shocked when you said, oh, like I cook at home a lot. I'm like, I feel like I always see you on stories out.
Yeah, I gotta start showing more home stuff. But yeah, I love cooking at home. Like eating out is fun, but after a while, there's nothing like a home cooked meal. There's nothing like it.
And before we get into brunch and wrap up questions, I did want to ask, what is next for you or anything new coming up you want to share?
Yeah, so I know I mentioned the two press trips coming up, so Ithaca and also Walton County in Florida. So that's really exciting, but it's also exciting because, like I said, look, we're gonna see how the curation of the content goes, and I'm hoping that I can like be able to edit it and get it in YouTube, and then just kind of like gauge how people feel from it to decide if YouTube is a platform that I want to continue using. So that's one thing, and then one of my Q1 goals is actually to sign up for a WSET certification for wine. So that's something I really want to do. I really want to be able to more confidently talk about wine. So I'm going to sign up for that. You have the option to do it in person or online. In person is like a 1 day intensive class, and then online is like you just take a couple courses each day, but I'm going to do the 1 day intensive. So that's one of the things. But I really want to lean into wine more. I feel like I'm knowledgeable enough, but I want to be like really confident when I'm talking about it. So that's what's next for Dom in the City. Tomorrow I have an episode that's airing on Cleo TV with Chef JJ Johnson. If you're not familiar with him, he is a James Beard award-winning chef who has a restaurant here in Harlem called Field Trip. It's a fast casual restaurant. And we're just going to be making one of my favorite meals, which is gumbo. So by the time this airs, you'll be able to watch it on demand. And if you can't find it, just DM me and I'll send it to you. But that's what's next for me.
Awesome. Now getting into some brunch questions. All right, since it's the Brunch and Learn podcast, we'll talk about brunch first. So what is your all-time favorite brunch meal? Like if anything was possible, what are you eating, drinking? Are you cooking at home or dining out?
So it would be like a mixture of both, actually. So I love a good like hash brown hash. I just love hash browns. I don't care if they're shredded. I don't care if it's diced potatoes. As long as there's potatoes, as long as there's peppers, onions, and some type of meat, I'm there. I love a good French omelet, like a perfectly constructed omelet. And I am a French toast connoisseur. I think I can say that now. I will make it at home. I love Trader Joe's brioche bread to make it with. But
You turned me
something
on to
that
that, and that is excellent.
people,
It's
when
life
people are,
changing.
right, when people are like, oh my gosh, I've used your recipe. I'm like, what type of bread did you use? And they're like, I didn't like it. I'm like, what type of bread did you use? And they're like, white bread. I'm like, that's your problem. It's not
Trader
thick
Joe's,
enough.
yeah, brioche bread. Ah, the
Oh,
slices.
yeah.
The prep is easier. It's delicious. It's
Yeah.
everything.
Oh, I want
I
it
love that
now.
recipe.
I have some bread in my freezer, so I might pull it out and have breakfast for dinner tonight. I love eggs. Like I can eat eggs every day for the rest of my life. But there's like this one restaurant that always sticks out. Sadly enough, it's not in New York City. It's actually in Philly. It's called Cafe Lift, and they have the best French toast I've ever had in my life. It's like thick brioche, like whipped cream, and then like just like seasonal fruits, but it's so good. That and their lemon ricotta pancakes. And like every time I go to Philly, like that's the first place that I stop at and get breakfast because they have breakfast all day every day. So that is like my favorite place in the world for French toast. But right now in Harlem, what I'm kind of obsessed with is the French toast at a place called The Good Good. So it is owned by a sister duo, and they own a restaurant called The Edge, but The Good Good is their newest restaurant. It's been open for I want to say about a year, but their French toast is it's pretty stellar. So they also have like fresh biscuits that they have on site. They have an amazing cocktail. They're not a bottomless brunch place because we're focused on the quality of the food, but they have an amazing brunch cocktail called Grand Mimosa, and it's made with like Grand Marnier and orange juice. Outstanding. Absolutely outstanding. So that's my current brunch fixation right now.
And we learned a ton from you today. I have a full page of notes. So thank you.
Oh,
I But we'd like to turn it around on the guest. And what is one thing that you learned this week? And it could be anything.
You know what? I haven't learned anything this week. But what I will say is that something that I've learned recently, as I mentioned earlier, I feel like I'm always a student, is I've been teaching myself video editing. So instead of doing it on my phone, I've been trying to teach myself how to do it on a computer. So I've been learning Premiere Pro, which is it's a lot more steps in it. I see why people edit on their phone, but that's the one thing that I have been teaching myself. And it's actually been very, very rewarding. I'm just a person that if I'm not learning new things, I get bored easily. And I'm just hoping that this is something that I can, get down packed and like share with others. But yeah, that's what I've been learning. That's what I learned recently.
Awesome.
Also, wait, I got one. I just learned that Pilates mat hurt. The
The mat?
activity, yeah,
Oh,
Pilates mat. It's harder than, I don't know if anyone out there is a Pilates person, but there's like Pilates mat, Pilates reformer where you're using a machine. I did Pilates mat and it really, really hurts. So that's something that I learned this week. But I feel better about myself because I feel like I worked out. So it's all about core, but
it's
that's what I
sneaky.
learned.
Yeah.
That's what I learned this week. I'm still sore and that was Sunday and today is Tuesday.
It creeps up on you. You think it's like yoga, and it's not.
I mean, I was just like, wow, Dom, you're definitely not in your 20s anymore. I mean, it's been a long time since I've been close to my 20s, but I'm like, yeah, your body is like, have a seat, girl.
Finally, where can people find you on the internet and say hi?
I am everywhere on every social platform. I'm Dom in the City, so that's DOMNTHECITY. So Dom in the City. I am on Instagram. I'm on Threads. I'm on Pinterest, but I don't use it like that. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I love to tweet my random thoughts out into the world. On Threads, I talk about more things that are related to content creation, building community. And then Instagram is kind of like, I always tell people like the gems are in the stories since I'm not posting as much to my feed. So on my feed, you'll see me sharing businesses. You might see me sharing like tips or whatnot. But yeah, and I also have a website thing I should be remembering to talk about. And my website is just dominthecity.com as well too. And you can see everything from food to travel, recipes, and I even have blogging tips on there. So if you're starting out, there's some tips on there.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. This was such just a great conversation. It just felt like we were just like sitting in our living room, just kikiing and just asking questions.
Hey, friends, virtual hugs for completing another episode of the Brunch and Learn podcast. Did you learn something new this episode? I sure did. If you're loving the podcast, don't shy away from showing your love. Consider rating and reviewing the show on Apple Podcasts. And if you want to hear more guests and episodes, head over to our website at womenwhobrunch.com for episodes, recipes, blog posts, updates on events, and much more. See you guys soon.